Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Unlike television, I'm not sitting here reading from a teleprompter, and occasionally I'm a little off on things, so I like to clean them up. I said that Terry Bradshaw is 73. He's actually 71. Jimmy Johnson, on the other hand, also part of Fox's pregame show, is 76, so I guess I was kind of picking a number between them. That doesn't really matter when you're talking about the Middle East and perhaps military action. Major Mike Lyons joins us, our CBS News military analyst and a friend. Good morning, Major.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Great to be back with you.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you. Tell me about the military implications of Iran. Well, first off, I guess we start there. Was it them that attacked the Saudi Arabian refining plant? And then what happens from here in terms of Iran talking about defending itself, et cetera? The floor is yours.
Yeah, it looks like it was. And it's clear the Houthis don't have this kind of technology. Could manufacture it, couldn't buy it, couldn't launch it from Yemen in any way. They're saying now that the launch came from Iran itself. It could have come from Iraq, who has people in Iran has got people there, I'm sure, that could have launched it from a distance perspective. But the key here is, you know, the Iranians have invented another weapon system now, kind of this low-grade, slow, improvised suicide drone that they're going to fire in mass, and they're going after, industrial complexes. And there's really a very difficult way for Saudi Arabia to try to defend against it. They're going to be figuring out a way to spend some of the $68 billion they spend on defense in order to try to do that. But once again, I think Iran goes right to the line in terms of striking out against, or their proxy striking out against Saudi Arabia, looking to upset the global economy. Now, it's not a reason for the United States to get involved, go to war. If the Saudis want to respond, fine, have at it. They've got a great military. Good luck, Godspeed. But for us to be involved right now, to me, is just foolhardy and something that we haven't learned anything in 20 years if we decide to start firing the Iranians up over this.
Major, I literally could not agree with you more. For people that don't know, you mentioned Houthi, right? Mm-hmm. Who are they?
So the Houthis are a rebel group that are fighting a civil war against the Sanas in Yemen, which is a border of Saudi Arabia. And there have been instances where the Houthis have actually crossed over the border of Yemen into Saudi and attacked certain Saudi strongholds there. Saudi Arabia has been using their air force against the Houthis in Yemen, and Yemen is a whole another separate conversation because it's a humanitarian crisis unto itself right now. They're just, a rebel group, but they're also Iranian proxies, which means that they're being funded by the Iranians in order to maintain their civil war. And that's really why these rebel groups have any success to begin with. For example, one of the reasons why there was no revolution that took place in Syria and the civil war wasn't successful there is because no one came in on the side of the rebel forces inside of Syria. In fact, everybody, the Russians, came on the side of the Syrians. We didn't come on the side of the rebel forces there. So the Houthis are a proxy group of the Iranians that don't have the kind of capability to fire the kind of missiles that were fired at the Saudis.
And yeah, I know you said it's a conversation for another day, but we do have a couple of minutes left here. And when it comes to Yemen, you mentioned humanitarian crisis. I had somebody tell me yesterday from a think tank that Saudi Arabia had all of this weaponry that we've sold them. As a matter of fact, the president, I think after the murder of Khashoggi, talked about not wanting to jeopardize another big arms sale that was going to happen. But anyway, they're saying that Saudi Arabia had all of this weaponry, but they didn't know how to use it. But they damn sure well knew how to use it when they were bombing Yemen, right?
Sure. The kind of weapons that were used against them are these kind of cruise missiles and drones that, based on battery and propulsion technology, in addition to GPS technology. So nowadays we can create a dumb slow bomb that can hit. Surely it hit a target because of our GPS and satellite technology. But a lot of the technology in the military that we sell Saudi Arabia, mostly it's air power, a lot of it are strategic weapons. And as I've learned in warfare, it doesn't matter unless you're willing to put people on the ground and fight and take over this land. So until the Saudis decide to get involved on the ground with Hassan's there, I don't think you're going to see any change in the situation in Yemen until that happens.
Let me talk about the humanitarian crisis in minutes we have left, Major, because a lot of people think that all military people want to do is bomb people and kill people, and that's not the case, especially with you just now recognizing the humanitarian crisis, because I think all lives are meaningful, and just because it happens in an area that we may not even know where it is, although it's on the southern border with Saudi Arabia. What is going on there in terms of humanitarian crisis?
Well, it's a classic situation where the one side that had control of the government, which was aligned more with the Saudis, and the other side, the Houthis, aligned with the Iranians, are coming in from the sea, really, in the northern part of Yemen. The humanitarian crisis takes place because without any government services, they've shut down water, they've shut down electricity. There's no goods and services that are getting into the ports. And Yemen used to be, you know, a flourishing country, but ever since this revolution, it's been going on almost for around 2 years now. And the Houthis decided that they were going to, and got funded, well funded by the Iranians, thought that they had the government won in a political election. But actually, the other side still maintain a certain amount of power in the major ports there. So it's a humanitarian crisis because as the government doesn't control anything, the people begin to suffer. And we're bombing civilians indiscriminately. That's why the United States backed off from supporting Saudi Arabia a few years ago as well. We only provide them intel now, but we're no longer providing them the kind of strategic assets that needed to move that weapon system along.
I know your time is limited, but when it comes to, somebody texted this, Russia, does Russia have their fingers in this at all?
Well, they always do. I mean, they're kind of an indirect link because they're a client of, they remain a client of Iran, which is why if we decide to get involved and go after, and let's say us, we team up with the Saudis in order to go after Iran, Russia would quickly get involved. The Chinese would get involved. We'd lose this century. I'm really convinced of that more than ever over, an oil facility in Saudi Arabia. That just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, as a soldier, I always knew that when I was in Fighting Desert Storm, you go into war over a strategic asset in oil. And I always said that once we had this energy independence, we wouldn't have to worry about this anymore. Well, here we are with energy independence, and we're still more worried about fighting wars in the Middle East. I just don't get it on any level.
Thank you, Major. I appreciate your time. I love when you said the Russians involved. They're always involved in one way or the other. Major Mike Lyons, he is a combat veteran who is concerned, as I think any human being should be, about any humanitarian crisis going on where just normal people get involved in wars between countries. 7:53, 7 before 8. Traffic now, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.